In today's episode of Bill and Frank's Guilt-Free Pleasures, we talk about a song that deals with the good kind of gossip.
We talk about how I revolutionized the game of basketball 20 years before Steph Curry, but I'm not looking for any of the credit.
And we talk about a Canadian songwriter who wasn't ever looking for a lot of credit, but brought about one of the great Bonnie Raitt songs.
This is our discussion on Bonnie Raitt's Something to Talk About on Bill and Frank's Guilt-Free Pleasures.
Speaking of something to talk about, do you know that there's going to be a play called Apostrophes, and it's at Sir Winston Churchill Secondary School in St. Catharines on April 25th and 26th. That's a Thursday and Friday at 7 p.m.
Apostrophes? Is that a play about word nerds?
Well, I guess so, Frank, but according to what I see here, it's about the overuse of apostrophes and how it represents our unconscious desire to belong. In short, it's a comedy.
A comedy? That sounds like fun. But I don't know if I can afford something like that. Wouldn't a night like that be very expensive?
It would be anywhere else, but when Bill and Frank's Guilt-Free Pleasures is involved in the advertisement, they bring the price down to $10.
$10? I think everyone can afford that.
And the great thing about Bill and Frank's Guilt-Free Pleasures is we can naturally insert this into our podcast, and it's not awkward at all.
Not one bit. Not awkward like any of my first dates.
Frank, have you ever been the one who laughs a little too loud, stands just a little too close, maybe even stands just a little too long until you realize she's not seeing at all what you are?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I have 100% been that guy.
And I have been too. But man, that song really kind of stuck with us when we were kids, and I bet we thought, you know what? One day that's going to be me.
I think my problem was by laughing a little too loud and standing a little too close was, unlike the characters in the song Something to Talk About by Bonnie Raitt, I think she was just someone I wanted to be friends with and then carry on further, but wasn't actually friends with. They were just complete strangers.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Which made it even creepier.
Yeah. That would explain that whole court order thing that you got out of, though. Thank goodness we have lawyers for friends.
Well, there's called a statute of limitations there. So.
Right, right. Now, actually, there was a connection that I do have to this song where I did hang out with this girl and people were saying, yeah, they laugh just a little too much. They stand just a little too close. And it was Ashley.
Oh,
yeah. My wife.
Ashley.
Yeah.
Not a different girl.
No, not a different girl. Okay. Frank. It was Ashley. And so we had broken up in 2004. That was a very stupid decision on my part. And then over the years, we said we were just going to be friends. But every time we got together, we would spend tons of time together. And all the people around would be saying, what's going on? It's clear there's something happening. And I'd say, no, that's not true.
I think I've probably been in situations similar to that. Not that would eventually end up in marriage or anything.
Right, right.
But being friends with people and hanging out and spending all that time with them. And then people are like, well, what's going on? Nothing's going on. But I was too chicken to actually make a move.
It is the most difficult and the most simple thing is to make that just slight move, that slight little step towards relationship. But the terror of actually saying something can cripple you for, say, in my case, 6 years.
Yeah. And I think I've had people say to me, it's like, you know, I was into you. It's like, well, I was into you too. And they would ask, well, why didn't you make a move? It's like, I don't know. I'm terrified of that. And then I'd, well, what do you think about me now? I was like, oh no, that's over and done. There's nothing there.
All right, dear listener, make that move. You can do it.
Yeah. You can ask me out on a date.
That's right. Frank's available. send an email to Bill and Frank's Guilt-Free Pleasures and we'll give you the details.
Yeah.
All right. Should we talk about Bonnie Raitt a little bit here?
I think we probably should. We talked a lot about ourselves so far.
Well, that's a lot of what goes on here, isn't it?
Kind of, yeah.
Bonnie Raitt had like a full career before she kind of hit her second wind.
Yeah, I was really surprised how long she had been in the music business before her two like really, really big albums came out. Nick of Time and Luck of the Draw came out in the, what, late 80s, early 90s,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think 89 or 88 is Nick of Time and 91, I think, is Luck of the Draw.
Yeah.
Either way, I know the Grammy Awards is 89 for Nick of Time and 91 for Luck of the Draw.
Her first album came out in 71.
Yeah. Yeah. So she was 42 when this song comes out.
Yeah.
And so she would have then been, what, 22, 23 back then?
Yeah.
That's incredible. Was her big first hit Angel Montgomery? That's from 71. Do you know that song?
I don't think I do off the top of my head.
That's that John Prine song.
Oh, okay.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
Just absolutely beautiful. And so that's where she kind of starts off. And I would have thought of it more of a country style. But then again, I don't know country music too much. But there's sort of like this folk singer blues thing that she had going on.
I think when she came out, and maybe why I probably dismissed her a little bit when Nick of Time came out, was that she was kind of associated as country. And I was like, no, I'm pop music. Country's people with pickup trucks and dogs and people leaving them and stuff like that, which is essentially what pop music is too.
Well, you know, this is why it's a guilt-free pleasure today, because we've often been asked, like, what is it that you guys are doing? Like, people say to us,
oh, hey, we don't know.
Hey, why don't you do this song? No, that doesn't fit what we do. And they go, well, what do you do? Well, we do guilt-free pleasures. Well, what's a guilt-free pleasure? And I guess we give a different answer each time. But in this case, in my case at least, the guilt lies within me. I feel guilty about how I responded to Bonnie Raitt when Nick of Time won.
Yeah.
When Nick of Time came out, she won like pop vocal performance. I know we're going to get to this song actually.
Yeah.
But we're going to talk about the Grammys later. But she beat Paula Abdul straight up, Gloria Estefan's Don't Want to Lose You Now, Bette Midler's Wind Beneath My Wings, and Linda Ronstadt, Just Cry Like a Rainstorm, Howl Like the Wind, like the title song from the album that didn't really need to be nominated, but that's fine. But Nick of Time won, and we're like, what is this? And I saw Bonnie Raitt, and like, she doesn't even look like a musical artist. Like, I dismissed her because she was older.
Yeah, and she didn't look like that stereotypical kind of pop star.
Totally. And now, as we are now older than Bonnie Raitt was when she won, I look back on it and say, wait a sec, she like defied the odds. And Nick of Time is way better.
Oh, it's so
than
good.
Those songs. And I like those songs, but Nick of Time is one of the all-time greats.
Yeah.
Only to be matched by the next album.
The next album is bonkers good too, because not only does it have Something to Talk About, but I Can't Make You Love Me.
It is a...
Oh my goodness.
We could talk about it, but we're both going to be in tears. And I notice there's only one Kleenex left in that box over there.
So all that to say, our podcast is like jazz in the sense that we just make it up as we go along. That's what jazz music is, right?
Oh, Ashley, if only she listened to
If only you listened to Ashley back in 2004.
Oh my goodness, aren't you correct? If only I listened to the heart's truth. This is what I love about Bonnie Raitt's voice. It sounds like it is singing the heart's truth.
Yeah.
And I don't think you can do that without singing the heart's truth.
There's an honesty in the way that she sings. Nothing sounds manufactured or contrived about it.
Yeah. And I do not like the blues. I've tried. I just don't like it. You might, because you like Westerns and stuff and slow movies. And
I'm not a huge blues fan, but I do like some of it.
Yeah. And I'd say I don't like it. But boy, she kind of makes me a believer. And I guess the reason is because maybe this is what blues is supposed to be, that they're singing the heart's truth.
I think so, yeah.
I always thought it was supposed to be sad, but it doesn't have to be. So this song could be blues. Is it a blues song?
It has a bluesy feel. It has a soulful feel.
Right, okay. And it does. And we're going to get to that too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Bonnie Raitt's 10th album was Nick of Time, which suddenly wins Grammy for Best Album of the Year. Yeah. After this career, she actually...
almost 20 years at that point, right?
She had run into trouble with alcohol and drugs where it had diminished the quality of what she was doing. And I think just the whole entire quality of life. And she said Stevie Ray Vaughan was the one who told her to kind of clean up, or told her it was possible to clean up.
Okay.
And she did. And that's when Nick of Time ended up being recorded. She recorded it clean and sober.
Because she was with Warner Brothers when she started.
Yep.
And then
they dropped
her. They dropped her in 79, I guess. Then she re-signed with them a year later,
yep.
Which is a little bit tragic because, you know, here's a label that is like, no, you're not what we're looking for. But then you go back to them. And that's...
You wonder if the deal was worse, right?
Yeah.
At that point?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's like someone going back to a boyfriend or a girlfriend that's not good for them. I'm not talking about myself here. I'm talking about myself.
Yeah. No. sorry for laughing.
But then they dropped her again in 87, and then Capitol Records picked her up.
That's
and
right.
And that's when we get this version of Bonnie Raitt, Nick of Time.
So she worked with Don Was for Nick of Time, right?
Yeah.
Is it Was?
Was not Was?
Yeah. Was it Was? I think it's Was not Was.
When are we finally going to do Walk the Dinosaur?
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And Don Was is a producer for it, and he's also a producer for this album.
Yeah.
And she's doing this album as well, clean and sober. She said it took a couple days to write the material for what she was trying to do for the album.
Yeah.
But she said because she was clean and sober, things were happening. So this is interesting in rock and roll history, where in Bonnie Raitt's view, actually being clean will actually allow you to be more creative.
Yeah.
I guess this is the wisdom that comes when you make it past 40 in rock and roll, Frank.
Yeah.
And podcasting.
Well, I was going to say... I just need to make it into rock and roll, and then I can get some perspective on things, I guess.
Exactly. So anyways, here we are. We got Luck of the Draw. She records Luck of the Draw and has it done. But she talks to a friend of hers. That friend?
Frank Stallone.
Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, okay.
And Bruce Springsteen says to her...
You need to talk to Frank Stallone.
Yeah. Strangely, he didn't say that. He said, do you have a hit single on there? Which is a weird kind of question.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Like, how do you know something's a hit? They always talk about that. But she's like, no, I don't think there's a hit on there. He goes, unless there's a hit, don't release it. Because in her view, she made it big with Nick of Time, but she didn't want it to be a fluke. So she wanted a really good album.
Mm-hmm.
And she felt like she didn't have the song that was the hit. And that's when she starts looking for a song. And she finds this tape that's kind of got scrolled on it or typed on it, a list of songs. And this is where Canada comes in for the win.
That's right. Because this was written by Shirley Eichard.
Mm-hmm.
She wrote this song like in 86 or something.
Yeah, it might have been 85 because we were talking about this off mic. And it was originally intended to be on whose album, Frank?
Well, Anne Murray's.
That's right.
But her people said, we don't see a hit in this song, so we're going to pass.
And then Anne Murray did the weirdest thing, though. She's like, well, I'm going to call my album Something to Talk About.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, okay, Anne Murray, what are you thinking? Well, I know she was thinking, right, it was her management that said, no, we got other songs.
Yeah.
Now,
she ended up doing a cover of it later, though.
I was looking for it. I couldn't find it.
Oh, really? Okay.
I'm not sure she did.
Neither could I, but I did read that she has a cover of it.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Now, Shirley Eichard.
You have a lot to say about Shirley Eichard, don't you?
I do, and I'm trying to hold back, but I'm struggling.
Now, just open up the dams, let the water flow.
Okay, Shirley Eichard's coming out of Nova Scotia, right? She made it big at the age of 15 years old.
Oh, wow.
She wrote a hit song for Anne Murray, and the song was called, I Believe It Takes Time. And so if you hear It Takes Time, it has this sort of wisdom of a much older songwriter in there.
And not a 15-year-old.
Not a 15-year-old. I mean, when I think of 15-year-old writing songs, it's usually Wendy by The Association, who's running down the streets of the... And that was written by a 15-year-old, but this 15-year-old wrote a whole other song.
Yeah.
It's not like Usher. Wait, was he 50? I think he was 50 in the first album.
Usher was super young in his first album.
All right. So Shirley Eichard has kind of a storied career in Canada. She's pretty much forgotten about.
I have never even heard about her until I started researching here.
Same for me. And this is what I was kind of ashamed of. This is the guilt-free thing as well, where there's this Canadian artist who is just off the radar. CBC, what have you been doing? Not talking about this. In the 70s, she wins the Juno for like Country Artist of the Year or even Pop Singer of the Year.
Okay.
2 years in a row.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
She did a cover of a Fleetwood Mac song that I think is even better than the Fleetwood Mac song. And I'm going to play it for you right now, Frank. 'Cause when the loving starts
That's great.
It's really good. I can't believe I didn't know about her. And so this is why this podcast is great. One is we get guilt-free about Bonnie Raitt, but now I'm guilt-free about missing out on Shirley Eichhardt. The tragic part, in a sense, is that she passed away last year.
Oh, yeah. You told me that.
Yeah. But she had a full life, and she did a lot of, like, songwritings. She was in Nashville in the 80s when she wrote this song. She wrote a whole bunch of songs, and then this was the last one she wrote, and she wrote it in 20 minutes.
Really?
20 minutes. And she's the only songwriter on this. It's just her. She wrote it and then she kept sending the tape out to people, or at least it was with, what was the name of the record company that Bonnie Raitt was with by this time?
Capitol.
And so she signed with Capitol. So Capitol kept pushing it out to people.
Mm-hmm.
And Bonnie Raitt, in an interview I just watched before I got here, talked about how she knew about Shirley Eichhardt because she's friends with Bryan Adams,
who talked
about Shirley being a really, really great songwriter. And she was known around the, I guess, the singer's circuit that this is a step above your average songwriter, so to speak. And that on the Canadian scene, she mattered a lot. Shirley Eichhardt actually was playing with like Bruce Coburn and Ian and Sylvia Tyson on stage in 1969.
Oh, seriously?
Which puts her at, I don't know, 13 or 14 years old.
Well, she was born in 55.
So she's 14 years old and playing at the Ottawa Blues Festival.
Bonkers.
Yeah, it's crazy. And the reason, here it is, Frank, the reason we don't know about her is she doesn't want to be known. She did not like performing on stage, and she just wanted to live a quiet life.
Okay.
And you know what allowed her to live a quiet life? Bonnie Raitt covering Something to Talk About.
Yeah, because she's the only songwriter on it. She's going to get all the royalties, so she can do whatever she wants now. She's kind of financially set.
She ended up staying in the small town she's living in, Harrison, Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
And just enjoying all the little parts of life. And she'd record every once in a while. Well, actually, she recorded a lot. She released a whole bunch of albums after this came out. There's this long stretch. And then she released, like, I don't know, might have been 7 or 8 albums. Some of them were jazz infused. Some of them were not. But there's one. Okay, Frank, I swear I'm going to get back to this song. I need to talk more about Shirley Eichhardt because I just feel like I can't believe I missed this. She made an album in 1995, so a couple years later, called If I Had My Way.
Yeah.
And that album is so good. And the song, If I Had My Way, I heard her sing it through like a YouTube clip. And it was just rare because she didn't like performing live.
Yeah.
And it sounds like it was recorded in the studio. Unreal.
Seriously.
This song is exactly the type of song that Frank Pearson would have loved in the 90s. Okay.
Am I hearing it now?
You are hearing it right now, and I know you got to work tomorrow, and I don't. I apologize.
If I had my way, I'd grow wings to fly high above these hills, across a scarlet sky.
Getting goosebumps.
This is so good.
This is really good.
I would capture you if I had my way.
So there's Shirley Eichhardt for you. Frank, I can't tell you enough about how great she is as an artist. We're going to include links in the show notes to both some songs, the live one I was talking about, but also to her obituary.
Okay.
It is so wonderfully written.
Oh, okay.
It's so thoughtful that I really want you to start working on mine just so that you're ready. Okay. So she's a Canadian treasure.
Hidden gem, you would call her.
You got that right. She got put into the Songwriters Hall of Fame for this song, and Bonnie Raitt was there to help induct her.
Yeah, in 2020.
Yeah. So
that's That's long overdue.
Long overdue. And it was during the pandemic. So I think Shirley Eichhardt has cancer at this point. And so she's fully masked up while she's speaking because there's other people in the room.
Yeah.
But she's so thankful for Bonnie Raitt. Bonnie Raitt's telling her how important this was. And then she retold the story about how Bonnie Raitt found her phone number on the tape, called, and it was voicemail. So she left the message by playing the song that they just recorded
for
Shirley. And Eichhardt's like, this is incredible, because she'd seen Bonnie Raitt a whole bunch of times at Massey Hall and everything, all up to the 90s, so all through the 70s, and was just overjoyed.
Oh, that's awesome. That's amazing.
There you go. There's my story. I know it took a while to get there, but this is what's going into this song.
That's crazy. Wow. So we're going to talk about the song now?
Yeah, let's talk about the song now, Frank. So how do we want to do this? Should we, we talked about the album. We talked about the producer. We know it's Don Was. And should we just jump right in?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. That opening is so, I have written here, is so relaxed. Mm-hmm. Do you feel it's kind of relaxed?
It seems backyard barbecue-y.
Yes.
It seems like you're hanging out at someone's house. You get that guitar that, mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
It just seems so comfortable.
Yeah. I really should have done the research on this. However, I noticed in the video that she's playing guitar with something that looks like a hollowed out shotgun shell. I don't think that's what they're called.
Oh, because she plays the slide guitar.
Yeah, not only does she play the slide guitar, B.B. King said
I was about to say the exact same thing.
Well, tell me, what did B.B. King say?
Oh, no, I just feel like you're pandering to me.
I am. Well, go ahead. She's the best slide guitar player in his view.
I have the best damn slide guitar player working today.
Frank, we're a family podcast here. I can't believe you said that.
This has nothing to do with anything, but one of my favorite sayings that my grandfather used to say, well, it's close as damn is to swearing.
That's pretty good. All right, well, in honor of your grandfather, we'll keep the damn in. Yeah, she's a great slide guitar player, self-taught, never took lessons.
Really?
She only had piano lessons and didn't like them that much because I think she had like issues with her mom because her dad was away a lot. I mean, both her parents are musicians. So her dad was like a traveling actor, I think, within show productions, and her mom had to like rein in the kids. But still, she got the musicianship from her. Also, a little bit of trivia for you, Frank. They're Quakers.
Yeah, I read that background too.
Like, okay. So, I mean, this isn't related to it. And of course, whenever we talk about a song, we go all over the place. But she's like a big time activist.
She attributes her environmentalism and activism to her Quaker roots.
In her songs, though, she talks about the politics between people.
Yeah, and she doesn't seem to be overly divisive.
No, this sounds a lot like us.
Yeah.
Another thing she has in common, besides being successful in her 40s. Okay, we talked about slide guitar there. She played slide guitar on like Bruce Coburn's Charity of Night album.
Oh, really?
She's like a session player that's sought out as well.
Oh, cool.
Anyways, put that out there. Okay, I want to go to verse one. All right. I love how this moves. People are talking about people. I hear them whisper, you won't believe it. They think we're lovers, kept undercover. I'll just ignore it, but they keep saying, we laugh just a little too loud. We stand just a little too close. We stare just a little too long. Maybe they're seeing something we don't, darling.
People are talking about people. I hear them whisper. You won't believe it. They think we're lovers. Kept undercover. I'll just ignore it. But they keep saying.
That's the move. That's the move that's so hard to make, to say to your darling, maybe they're seeing something we don't. That's kind of original. I don't know if there's songs that ever talked like this.
Yeah, this is kind of a unique song because it's not about longing. It's not about love per se, but it's about let's give the people what they want, essentially. And people can see us dancing around, even though we can't see ourselves dancing around. Maybe we give this a try. Maybe we give it a shot after all.
Frank, you did some really deep research as well into this first verse. Can you tell us where that double entendre is?
I like that you set me up for like the most obvious double entendre that there could be. They think we're lovers kept undercover. Well, it's not that they're just kept undercover, but maybe they're under the covers.
Oh, wow.
See?
Scandalous.
I know.
The thing I love about this verse, and I'm going to keep saying it, it's just how the song moves. Yeah. And it's the mm-hmms that I kept not saying when I was reading, but I could hear mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so I think we need to talk about the mm-hmm in the song, those people who did it. You got to go to Luck of the Draw, Personnel, and find backing vocals for track one.
Personnel. Yep, here we go.
I want you to find all the backing vocals for track one.
Okay, they're all over the place.
That's right. It's going to take you a long time, Frank.
Thanks, I appreciate that. For track one.
So you're just going to say backing vocals, just look for the one in brackets.
I know how to read Wikipedia, Bill.
Here's the thing, Frank. I set this up for you so you could see how many people played on Luck of the Draw.
Oh, yeah.
This is huge money that went into it. One is Don Was brings all these people with him. But the record company was fully behind Bonnie Raitt and so gave her the best of the best.
Yeah.
Her session players are incredible.
Did you know that Phil Cunningham played Penny Whistle on track number 7?
Oh, that's why track 7 sounds so good.
One part Be My Lover. Okay, here we go. Backing vocals. Track 1. Sweet Pea Atkinson.
Mm-hmm.
Sir Harry Bowens.
I'm going to stop you right there. You want to know where those two people are from?
No.
If you saw them, you would know.
Okay, just tell me.
Sorry. Was not was.
Oh, okay.
Those are the two guys who sang. Sense. Those are the two guys who sang Walk the Dinosaur.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
awesome. Why I wanted you to find it.
Okay.
Okay, there's another guy who sings there. Could you tell me his name?
David Lasley.
You saw him in concert.
Did I?
Yeah, we saw him in concert. So when we went to see James Taylor, he had the most incredible backing vocalists. He was one of the guys.
Oh, really? Okay.
And so James Taylor went and introduced each of them. And so when I saw his face, I said, wait a second, I've seen this person before. Sure enough, we saw him with James Taylor. And it was like the best backing vocalist I'd ever heard.
Wait, you were watching him with James Taylor?
He was singing in the background.
No, but James Taylor wasn't with us.
No, he wasn't with us. We were with him on stage in spirit.
But we weren't with him.
No, and we didn't sing along because that would have disturbed everyone else.
That was everyone behind us. Oh, they were terrible.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I did see Sweet Pea Atkinson and Sir Harry Bowens sing with Lyle Lovett. They were in the large band. So Bruce and I went to see Lyle Lovett at Massey Hall, and they were singing backing vocals. And I said, I know those two. They sang Walk the Dinosaur. There you go. And I think there's more backing vocals, but I wanted those three to be in there.
I don't see anyone else who did backing vocals on Something to Talk About other than Bonnie Raitt.
Oh, then she's a female vocalist. She's the okay, female vocalist. There's our four.
But do you know who played piano and keyboards on track number 3, which was I Can't Make You Love Me?
Yes, I do. But tell me again.
Bruce Hornsby.
This is why it's perfect.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. So there's so much to say. Okay, maybe we should head on to the chorus, Frank. We've really gone through verse 1. Let's give them something to talk about. It says that 3 times.
She sings so soulfully.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give them something to talk about. Like, it's so, I don't even know. It's so good. I love it.
I have the word joyous here.
Yeah.
It has this sort of seductive sound to it too, right? She's talking to her friend and saying, hey, let's give them something to talk about.
Yeah, it's not overly serious. It's playful and joyous a little bit. That has that sort of that sexy quality to it.
Oh,
right?
Man, she does. And it's that's it. And the song is about people talking. And then she's saying, won't we give them something?
Yeah.
I love it. I love that sort of whole sentiment about it. It's so smart.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, they want the show. Here it comes.
All right, let's go to verse 2. This is fun.
Yeah.
And this is where it starts to really move. And then we're going to talk about who the session players are for bass and drums.
Are we going to go through all of them?
Not all of them, just for this track. It's the same bass player she always has.
Okay.
I feel so foolish. I never noticed. You'd act so nervous. Could you be falling for me? It took a rumor to make me wonder. Now I'm convinced I'm going under. Thinking about you every day. Dreaming about you every night. I'm hoping that you feel the same way. Now that we know it, let's really show it, darling.
Could you be falling for me? It took a rumor to make me wonder. Now I'm convinced.
shift here in the song too, right? Because
yeah.
she's asked, right? Let's give him something to talk about. And then she says in this one, I feel so foolish that I didn't even notice that it was there.
She wasn't picking up what he was putting down necessarily. Yeah. Not even that he was putting something down, because it sounds like he was also reluctant to make a move or do anything about it.
Yeah. And so she's asking these questions, but now we have a sense that they're actually together or it's happening.
Yeah.
Took a rumor to make me wonder. Yeah. And now she's falling for the person, right?
Because she realized just like, oh, no, wait. This is that moment of realization.
I love it. Now that we know it, let's really show it, right? So it seems like they're together. And this verse feels like it moves faster than the other.
Yeah.
And I feel like it also gives you the sense of the rush of that sort of love, even that infatuation love that just moves so quickly, that early love that's so great. And the vocal is, I mean, it's great everywhere, but when she says, now I'm convinced I'm going under, has such power. And I feel like this could only happen with great production and session players where they recognize her pure power of voice and surround her. Because that bass just moves.
Yeah.
And it's been the same bass player, I think, for her whole career, or at least Nick of Time onwards.
James Hutch Hutchinson?
Yeah. Apparently just incredible. And if you take a look at who's playing drums through the track, all of these guys are major players.
What I like, and just going back to those backing vocals, she makes a comment, but then there's the confirmation. Because she says, I feel so foolish.
Yeah.
Like, I love that.
Was not was is like,
Yeah.
You were. Yeah. I love it. Oh, it's so good. It's a thing we say a lot on this podcast.
That we love it and it's so good.
It's so good. Yeah. We're going to get.
Well, it is so good.
It is. And it moves and it doesn't need to be like super deep. It just is because it's so novel the way it's written. It's playful. And
playful,
then,
sexy.
Oh, yeah. But Bonnie Raitt's vocals is what makes this work.
Yeah.
It can't be anyone else.
No.
We will get to that later. Who else it could be or was.
Not was.
Not was. Just was. Not was. Let's go.
I love that line. Let's give him something to talk about. A little mystery to figure out, babe.
Yeah.
Again, it's that playful sexy.
It is. And to call someone babe who is your friend, but now you've made that sort of impossible leap, which really was a leap of about half a foot.
Yeah.
Didn't have to walk far.
It wasn't even a step.
It's crazy, though. That step is impossible.
That step is so small, but so big at the same time.
You know what it reminds me of? The Last Crusade, Indiana Jones.
Oh.
He had to take the step. And then I still don't know how he didn't fall down the cave, because he's still, you know, you make that step, but you still got to balance yourself on that thing.
Yeah, exactly. And I have a fear of height, so there's no way I was going to do that.
Frank, you got to take that leap of love from the lion's mouth. What if you shimmied? I don't think you need to make a leap, but maybe just kind of reach your hand out.
The shimmy of faith really
the shimmy
has
of faith.
A less.
So we get to the chorus again, and we know this. And then we get to that musical interlude, which possibly a slide guitar, but I also realize I don't know what slide guitar sounds like unless it's this, and it sounds great.
Yeah, no, that's definitely Bonnie Raitt on the slide guitar there.
Incredible. It just sounds so good. And now, do you ever feel like the slide guitar sounds like dirty guitar?
Yeah, there is something, because it kind of smears the sound.
Yeah, because it moves, it slides.
Yeah, this is again a great example of how Bill and I have zero idea what we're actually talking about. It smears the guitar. Oh, what does that mean?
So we get to the bridge, which is the chorus again.
Yeah, it's a breakdown chorus. The instrumentation is just stripped right down, and you get just Bonnie Raitt's power there in her voice.
Is it the drums just kind of like moving? Yeah. Like, you feel like in concert, the drums would only be playing while she's singing.
This is the instance when you're watching her in concert and everyone's clapping above their heads in time, just in that coordinated sort of fashion.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, there's me who's slightly out of time because I'm terrible at keeping rhythm.
I want to make a joke about 1 and 3 or 2 and 4.
Yeah.
And I realized I didn't know what it was. But I know that I just look to someone who I know who plays music. Like, if we're in a church context, I just turn to someone who's either playing at the front or someone, usually someone in the crowd who I know knows music, and clap along with them.
Yeah.
That would be Ashley, who's right beside me. You get the ending where she just does those little grace notes, so to speak, I guess. Might not be grace notes, but listen up, baby, a little mystery won't hurt. And she just repeats and repeats. Beautiful, lovely ending to the song, and it is a lovely song that has, like you said, the playfulness of a great barbecue. Neighborhood barbecue, family barbecue, intergenerational dance at the local Canadian Legion.
Yeah.
That's what I'm feeling here.
Going back to that mystery comment, I like this in the outro part. A little mystery won't hurt him, which implies that they're going to go for it, but they're also going to kind of keep it a secret just to be playful.
Keep it undercover.
Keep it undercover.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Yeah. Hey, let's talk a bit about this music video.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot to say, but apparently there is.
There is. So here's the thing. Did you watch who the players were in the video?
Yeah, because I watched the video.
It's Was Not Was.
Oh, was that it?
It's the whole band.
It's the whole band.
It's the whole band. So when I watched it, I'm like, wait a second, that's that Sweet Pea guy. And so there he is. I'm like, wait, that's Sir Harry Bowens. Those are the two guys from Was Not Was. They're there just doing the mm-hmms.
Yeah.
And they're looking at her for kind of like a head nod and guy, and they're there just playing along. But you get the sense this incredible band there. And who's playing drums? Don Was.
Oh, he's playing the drums. That's right. Yeah.
Because I looked and like, who's the guy with the sunglasses? Like, that's him. And sure enough, you start looking at everyone, and I look at, there's a woman just kind of hitting this like tambourine drum thing.
It
wasn't a tambourine at all, but it was something. I want to call it timpani. I don't know what she's hitting, but I saw her in the Walk the Dinosaur video. I'm like, they just brought the whole band there. So most of the band is in this, and there's nowhere online that anyone's talked about it.
Really?
So I took it upon myself to write on behalf of Bill and Frank's Guilt-Free Pleasures in the video on the Body Rate site. Hey, that's Was Not Was. It's incredible. I'm hoping to hear a response that's not mean-spirited.
I'm sure there's a subreddit somewhere that we can contribute to as well. When I say we, I mean you.
Well, I think it's time to get on Wikipedia and say it's Was Not Was.
It Was Not Was, yeah. But the video is different cut scenes of the band playing, like Bonnie Raitt and Was Not Was.
Yep.
But also people of varying ages, best girls and best guys dancing together, which would be kind of like a barn dance or at the Canadian Legion as well.
It's perfect. It's exactly the sort of thing that this song, I want to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also people getting sexy in a pool together.
That's how it opens.
Yeah.
Like, whoa, what is going on here?
Yeah.
I'm feeling like we need to hear some fretless bass when we see scenes like that.
Yeah. In my mind, that is the couple. This is their moment where they kind of realize just like, okay, let's do this. Because they're hanging out. They're breaking into the local pool at night. That's what you do when you're young.
I love that you're assuming it's a local pool. Like they're not at their own pool. Does it look like a local pool?
I don't know.
Do they stink of chlorine? Maybe that's what they're talking about. No one smells like chlorine.
Other than you two, yeah.
You're making out at the local pool.
This is where my mind went with this. It was at night. They're at a pool that they shouldn't be into. But because they're friends that they do these things, they go on these adventures and little things. And then it escalates at the pool.
I love just the different people that they show there. There's a whole wide array. And then there's this one awkward shot of an old man in a dancing pose and he doesn't move. And you see it four times. And then at the very end of the music video, you see that old man again, like, oh, here's the shot. And suddenly they start moving.
Oh,
and it's just okay. Sort of like, didn't pick up on that. So there's something going on at the seniors' home,
yeah.
Which happens. You know, there's something to talk about. People are, you know, asking these things. The thing I love about this music video, especially from this position 30 years later, is that it featured all of these various ages. And it was music for not just young people, but for older people. But young people loved it. Kids yeah. loved it. We loved it. And I was mad at Bonnie Raitt about Nick of Time. But I remember when I heard this song, like, ah, oh, that's a good song. I didn't yeah. want to like it, but I did.
So, yeah, exactly. I didn't want to like it either. But in grade 9, I was on the boys' basketball team. Before one of my games, there was the senior girls' basketball team that was playing. On their warm-up tape was yeah. this song. And I'm thinking, well, this is country music. Why would people like this? But then I watched the team warm up and they all loved the song and I started to appreciate it more and more at that moment. The particular sort of connection I have with this song goes back to grade 9, which wasn't necessarily a great time for me, but grade 9 basketball, I don't know if I've talked about this before, maybe in our Glory Days episode, I'll talk about it even more, but there was a game when I went 4-for-4 from the 3-point line. I shot 100% from the field. Basically, I was Steph Curry before there was a Steph Curry, just putting up threes, revolutionizing the game of basketball. So this is what this song reminds me of, is how I changed the game of basketball, but I am not asking for all the credit or the millions of dollars that I probably deserve because I was shooting threes way before it was cool.
You know, the longer I go without saying anything, the more you talk about this. And I love that you forgot that you brought this up in a previous podcast.
Oh, I know.
I know we're going to bring this up again and again. You are Uncle Rico. You are Al Bundy. You are the man who had that great game. You know, I hit 2 triples in the championship baseball game when I was in grade 6, right?
That's the hardest hit to get.
Yeah, right? 2.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because I'm such a tentative guy, as you can see that it took me 7 years to finally make my true move on Ashley, that I delayed so much that I always hit it down the first baseline. Oh,
opposite field.
Yeah, that's right. Opposites attract, and you know.
Well, that's what DJ Scat Cat told me.
Upcoming podcast, I hope. Oh, we come together. Well, we got the personal connection part out of the way there, Frank. I had that listed there for our post-video analysis. Grammy Awards. Do you have the list for what this beat for Song of the Year?
Bonnie Raitt was up for the Grammy for Best Female Pop Vocal Performance for this song, and she won in 1992.
Yeah.
She was up against some pretty heavy hitters. So Something to Talk About wins. The other nominees were Whitney Houston with All the Man That I Need.
I remember that one.
Amy Grant with Baby Baby.
Infectious.
Olita Adams with Get Here.
Okay. Don't know that song at all.
I don't know it either. This is one of my favorite Mariah Carey songs. Mariah Carey was nominated for Emotions, but it didn't win. Bonnie Raitt beat Mariah Carey's Emotions.
It's crazy. And Bonnie Raitt got up on stage and said, okay, stop it. Like, it was a thank you, but serious, you can just stop.
Yeah.
This is so good. It was so funny. And, you know, as time goes on, they were right. I hated the Grammys when they would pick certain songs, like albums yeah. of the year. But as time went on, I'd be reflecting until recently. Now I don't know what they're doing, but
no.
Back then it'd be like, I can't believe they picked this. And as the years have gone on, I'm like, well, shoot, that was a really good album.
Yeah.
And this song is like, no, she doesn't have to show off her range or anything like that. She just has to be in the pocket.
Exactly.
Mariah's going all over the place. Emotions is fine. But I gotta say this. This song does not sound dated like Emotions does. Emotions sounds... Sorry, Frank.
Slow down.
Put that out there.
College Boy.
This song just abides in a way that Mariah Carey's does not.
This song endures.
Yeah. They made the right choice.
Oh, I think so, yeah.
Do you want to know what was in the top 5 in Canada?
Yeah, let's hear that.
When this hit its number 3, which was the highest charter in the sort of North America.
I feel that it was probably a bigger song in Canada than it was in the States.
You're correct. It went to number 5 in the States, number 3 in Canada. All right. Number 5, and this might go into giving us troubles with what I was assuming was that Nick of Time beat out, because now I realize I didn't know what I was saying there. Number 5, Shiny Happy People. If we ever were going to do an REM song, that would be the one.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Number four, a banger of bangers, Frank. Wholehearted by Extreme.
Oh, yes.
Number three is Something to Talk About.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Ready for number two? Just Bring Down Some of Those Old Motown Records. Rod Stewart. The Motown song.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And number one, which I think was probably number one for about 19 weeks, was Everything I Do It For You.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right, let's go to some categories here. Karaoke.
Yes.
Apparently, this is a big karaoke song.
Yeah, I can see that for sure. It wasn't featured, but it was sung by Will Ferrell in the movie Step Brothers.
Oh,
when
no
he
way.
Was showing off his vocal range.
Oh, that's fantastic. I remember going to a karaoke night because our good friend Austin, Korean Thunder, was doing karaoke and he just owned the stage. And I was terrified to go up on stage. I just wasn't ready. And then Austin's wife, Laura, good friend of ours, who we've known for like 20 years, she got up on stage and did this song. And she nailed it so much. I'm like, there's no way I'm getting up on stage. There's no way. She was so good.
That's amazing.
And she's looking at Austin, who is like dancing up a storm and just
yeah.
going full Austin on this. And if you know Austin, as you know Austin, because it's something special. And she just did it and looked at him this sort of way that was like, okay, I'm just going to sit in my chair here.
Yeah, I'm just going to enjoy the show.
Exactly. So would I sing this? Not after Laura sang it. There's no way I can do this.
I'd like to give it a try.
All right.
I don't think I would do it justice, but I would like to give it a try.
Who else could do this song?
It's been covered a number of times. Like I said, Anne Murray did a version of it.
Yeah, which we can't find. I did find a version of this I kind of didn't want to find. It just made me sad, even though this person's rich. I got to preface this that I feel unfair saying this, that when people say they're having a rough time, but they're wealthy, I just don't believe them.
So yeah.
I'm like, no, money does solve all your problems. Yeah. It was Britney Spears on her like Las Vegas residency. And she did Something to Talk About. I guess she did it every night. I feel like you better not go for this unless you can kind of duo with Bonnie Raitt.
Yeah.
And I just think Britney Spears should stay in that lane. And there was nothing added to it. It felt like she was singing karaoke, really, to a backing track.
We were like talking about people. You won't believe it. They think we're lovers. Put on the cover. I'm a stickler. They keep saying I'm a stickler tonight. We say just a little too.
I don't know if anyone should do this song, except one person.
Who's that?
Shirley Eckhart. I saw a version of her singing it at a writer's conference. She never recorded it herself. I think, and she would say, because Bonnie Raitt did the better.
That's where you're wrong, Bill.
Oh.
If you read Wikipedia, you'd understand this. Something to Talk About was utilized as the theme for a 1995 sitcom, Women of the House, on CBS. This version was sung by the song's composer, Shirley Eckhart.
Oh, there is. So she did do it.
Yeah.
Something we don't die.
Well, she's the only one who could do it. She sounded pretty good. Like, it wasn't too far removed. But as Shirley Eckhart would say, Bonnie Raitt is like the master interpreter.
And Bonnie Raitt doesn't write a lot of songs herself. She just interprets.
Yeah.
And I think she took this song and did just a fantastic job of it. Other people who have covered this song, and it's been on American Idol and X Factor and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's so tragic that they would put that song in there.
So there was a version of it by Shadazy in 2007, and you already mentioned the Britney Spears version. There's also a version by Jennifer Love Hewitt.
I don't know. Maybe it fits because it's in her show, but I feel I'll stand alone.
Yeah.
You don't want to try this.
Well, this is another cover version of this that you might not be aware of. It's a live performance of it, but Daryl Hall covered it on his podcast, live from Dara Hall's house with special guest KT Tunstall.
Okay, well, now we're getting closer to things that could work.
Yeah.
I think there's a version of this for the movie, because we're not going to do Hallmark movies since there was a movie already made about this called Something to Talk About.
Yeah, with Julia Roberts and Dennis Quaid.
Yeah, and I think there's someone else who did a cover on that. Yeah.
In that movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm reading song facts here. The version of the song in that movie was sung by an artist named Teresa Willis.
Okay, all right.
I have no idea who she is.
Well, you know, I did not watch the movie. Usually I always watch the movies that go with it, but I just went to the Wikipedia site and read the synopsis, where it's about Grace discovering that her husband, Eddie, is having an affair with another woman. And after a confrontation, she returns home to her parents' horse farm, which is a Hallmark movie.
Yeah, that's right? A Hallmark movie all over. Yeah.
To her surprise and dismay, everyone around her is still mired in old-fashioned ideals and believes she should forgive and forget Eddie's indiscretion. Her sister, Emma Ray, who is furious at Eddie and lets him know it, is also unwilling to let Grace pretend that this has come out of nowhere, or that she did not make choices that led to her current predicament. Eddie, too, confronts Grace about her withdrawal from their life, his feelings of abandonment after what started out as an affectionate, loving marriage. Her father feels, this is the best part, her father feels the whole affair is dragging focus from an upcoming horse jumping competition. But he and Grace's mother, Georgia, face their own set of problems with fidelity. There's no way I'm watching this stupid movie.
Yeah, and oh, no. In the there's no way I would ever watch that. That sounds so terrible. It's so contrived.
Yeah, no way. Oh. And that was like a Julia Roberts comeback movie, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I feel like if we had about 42 seconds, we could write a movie that's better than that.
Yeah, but you know what? We've talked so long, we don't have that 42 seconds. Let's move on to mixtape then.
What was your theme for this?
I have two different themes.
Okay.
So I was like, well, maybe Frank will go with the same theme, so I have a backup theme.
Okay. So my theme was songs about rumors and gossip.
Okay, good. Yes, that was one of mine.
That was one of yours? Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm going to start off with a fairly obvious one with I Heard It Through the Grapevine by Marvin Gaye.
Very good.
Found Out About You, Gin Blossoms.
Yeah.
Take It on the Run by REO Speedwagon. Then I Heard a Rumor by Bananarama, and I'm closing it all off with My Boyfriend's Back by The Angels.
Nicely done. Okay. I also have that same theme.
Okay.
Okay.
How many songs did I steal from yours?
Just one.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. What was the Gin Blossom song?
Found Out About You.
Okay. I got Rumor Has It by Adele.
Mm-hmm.
I have Everybody's Talking by Harry Nilsson.
Nice.
I have Till I Hear It From You by The Gin Blossoms. And I have Being With You, Smokey Robinson. He doesn't care what anyone else says, but he wants to be with her.
Oh, nice.
I also had I Cannot Believe It's True by Phil Collins, but then I realized it wasn't really about gossip. He just didn't want to believe the letter she sent to him was true.
Was that the divorce subpoena?
I think so. He sang it a little bit differently in later years.
Yeah.
So that is my mixtape. I'm going to stick with that one.
Oh, okay,
I had another one, but I feel we joined it together. And for once, we could have a consistently themed mixtape.
I think that's the first time in about 140 episodes.
I think so. We're almost there.
Are we almost? Yeah, we're getting pretty close. Yeah. So I hope that you have enjoyed our discussion through Something to Talk About by Bonnie Raitt. It's a song that we underappreciated when it first came out, but I think as time has gone on and as we have grown, we understand it for what it is. And that's just a straight up amazing, bluesy, soulful song. And dear listeners, we thank you for joining us on this tour and adventure through the song and through our podcast. And we just want you to know that we're thinking about you every day. Dream about you every night. And I'm hoping that you feel the same way. Now that we know it, let's really show it, darling, by liking us on Spotify and wherever you find your podcasts.
This has been Bill and Frank's Guilt-Free Pleasures.